592 and find out for yourself. We look forward to serving you with years of experience. We know what we are doing and will make recommendations based on your personal situation. Call 1-800-951-0592 and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. And with Christmas coming, why, we thought we'd have with us this morning William Federer to tell us the story of St. Nicholas or Santa Claus or the background of many of our wonderful Christmas traditions. Unfortunately, taking us further and further away from what Christmas was really about, and that was the celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But St. Nicholas, the real St. Nicholas, was a dedicated Christian. His story is fascinating. And without his background, William Federer, you pick up the story of St. Nicholas, and of course you've written a book about it, but you give us the background, please.
Well, Dr. Stan, it's always great to be with you, and I'm always amazed at how much radio you're able to do, and day and night. You're a great inspiration to me. Well, we all have the stories of Santa Claus, and I decided to write a book on it. And so history is quite fascinating. St. Nicholas is the most popular Greek Orthodox saint. So what is today Eastern Europe and Russia and Turkey and so forth, the Greek Orthodox is the part of the world. There's less Christians there because Islam has invaded that area. But St. Nicholas is to the Greek Christians what Peter is to the West and what St. Patrick is to Ireland. So they have a lot of traditions and stories that the Greek Orthodox Church has passed down over the centuries about St. Nicholas. And story begins during the first three centuries of Christianity. There were 10 major persecutions, and Christians were thrown to the lions, and Nero would wrap them in burlap and dip them in tar and stick them on poles in his garden and light them on fire and call them his Christian torches. I mean, just horrible treatment that these Christians went through for three centuries. Unfortunately, we're seeing it happen again today. There's actually more people have been martyred for Christianity in the last century than all the other previous centuries combined. And so as we speak, Christians are being killed in Syria, in the Middle East. And unfortunately, a lot of them are being killed with the U.S. government backing the Muslim Brotherhood that's doing the killing. It's one of the most bizarre turn of events. But nevertheless, during the first three centuries, the Christian experience was persecution. Nero, Domitian, Trajan, Marcus Aurelius, Septimus Severus, Maximus Patricius, Valerian, and then Diocletian. Now, it was during this time that Nicholas was born in the area of Asia Minor, which is today Turkey. And he was born in a town called Patara, P-A-T-A-R-A, Patara. And the story is his parents were wealthy and elderly, and they died when a plague swept through town, leaving Nicholas with a large amount of money as a young man. And his uncle was a bishop nearby and encouraged Nicholas to serve the Lord. And Nicholas would go into town at nighttime and help the poor anonymously, because he wanted the glory to go to God. And one story that became popular was a merchant in the town of Patara had gone bankrupt. And back then, the creditors would not only take your house and lands, they would take your children and force them into sex trafficking, which unfortunately millions of children nowadays are forced into that. I just read an article where in Brazil they have 500,000 children are in the sex trafficking. But anyway, back to the story of Nicholas. In this town of Patara, the merchant who had gone bankrupt The creditors were threatening to come and take not just his house and his land, but take his children. And this merchant had three beautiful daughters. He knew if they were taken, it would probably mean a terrible life of prostitution. So this merchant had an idea. He thought if he could hurry up and marry his daughters off, the creditors would not be able to take them. Unfortunately, he did not have money for a dowry, which was needed in that area of the world for a legally recognized wedding. Well, Nicholas heard the problem, and late one night threw a bag of gold or coins in the window. It landed in a shoe or a stocking that was drying by the fireplace. It provided the dowry for the oldest daughter to get married. It was a big buzz, talk of the town. He throws money in the window for the second daughter, and when he throws it in for the third daughter, the dad was expecting it and ran outside and caught him. And Nicholas made the merchant father promise not to tell where the money came from because he wanted the glory to go to God. And so this is the origin of the tradition of secret gift giving on the anniversary of Nicholas's death, which was December 6th of 343 A.D. Now, Nicholas goes on to have quite an eventful life. The Greek Orthodox pass down stories about how Diocletian was terrorizing the Christian church. And he was the Roman emperor, and Diocletian lost some battles with Persia, and he asked his generals why, and the general said, well, you've neglected worshiping the Roman gods. So Diocletian orders all of his military to worship the Roman gods. Well, it had been about 20 years since the last persecution of Christians, and there were a lot of Christians in the military, but they were forced out. Sort of like today, we see this forcing out of Christians and this firing almost every week of generals and colonels that hold to old traditional values and are not embracing the Muslim Brotherhood and the gay agenda. And so we're seeing a purging of Christians out of the military today. And what can we expect is going to happen once the Christians are out? Well, in Diocletian's case, once the Christians were all forced out of the military, Diocletian decided to use the military to force all of the Roman Empire to returning to worshiping the Roman gods. And so he went systematically, province by province, arresting church leaders, cutting out their tongues, boiling them alive, tearing down churches, burning the scriptures. It went on for 30 years. And during this time, Nicholas was captured and put in prison. Now, just a little back note here. He went from the town of Patara to the Jerusalem, and Nicholas was thinking of joining a monastery. At this time, developed this pietism, this thought that if you really are sincerely converted, you'll give away all your money and live in a cave, or you'll give away all your money and become a beggar like St. Alexis, or you'll give away all your money and you'll build a platform in the desert of Egypt and go on top and bake in the sun, thinking that you're denying your flesh and you're getting holier, and somehow that's, you know, pleasing to the Lord. But you're basically withdrawing from the world. It was their version of separation of church and state. It was like, okay, you got a spiritual message, just go hide it in your four walls and don't let anybody else hear about it. Anyway, Nicholas is told by the Lord somehow in his heart that he is not to hide his light under a bushel. And so he leaves and goes back to Asia Minor. And
You better hold that thought, William. We're going to a break. We'll be back in just a moment here on the American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear Up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Trace Margaritas in Greeley thanks all the brave men and women in the armed forces who have served our country. To those heroes back home from missions abroad, know that your dedication, selflessness, and courage are appreciated. May God bless America. This message is from Trace Margaritas, 2319 8th Avenue in Greeley. Call 970-378-6662. That's 970-378-6662. Offering a 20% discount to veterans and those who served in our armed forces. If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, William Federer, is telling us the story of St. Nicholas. William, go right ahead.
Well, we were talking about St. Nicholas and how he was a young man and was generous, gave money to the poor, and then he decided to go into the ministry and was thinking about being a monk in a monastery, but the Lord tells him not to hide his light under a bushel, so he leaves Jerusalem and the Holy Land, and he goes back to Asia Minor, which is today Turkey, and he gets off at a port city called Myra, M-Y-R-A, and today it's called Demre. Unbeknownst to him, the bishop had died, and the church leaders could not decide who the next bishop was going to be. And Nicholas, his habit was to fast all night long, and then be the first one at church the next morning before he broke the fast. That's where we get the word breakfast from, breakfast, because there was a habit of people in the church to fast. He is the first one in the church. The church leaders had an elderly man that supposedly had a dream, since they could not decide who the next bishop was going to be. And this person had a dream that the first person to church the next morning would be named Nicholas, and he was to be their next bishop. So he's waiting by the door, and the morning comes, and Nicholas walks in, and he asks him his name, and when he says Nicholas, he says, "Follow me," and brings him in where the other ones are fasting and praying, and they tell him that he is supposed to be their next bishop. Well, he was not too thrilled with the idea, because being a bishop during the Roman Empire period of time, especially with an emperor, Diocletian, who was arresting bishops and killing them, it was sort of like, where everybody stands in a line and they ask for volunteers and everybody steps back and you're the only one that didn't step back. So it was like, you put the target on your back. He does agree to be the bishop, and he is there in Myra. And sure enough, he is arrested and he is put in prison and he is awaiting death. From Diocletian. But the church prays all across the Roman Empire. The church is praying, and lo and behold, Diocletian is struck with an intestinal disease that's so painful, he abdicates the throne on May 1st, 305 AD. And the poetic humor is that the Roman emperors by this time had been declaring themselves a god and sprinkling gold dust in their hair and demanding that their image be worshipped. And so this was sort of like a god resigning. So Diocletian steps down from being the Roman emperor. The next emperor, Galerius, continues the persecution of Christians. And then he is struck with an intestinal disease and dies. Must have been something in the water. And then finally, the Roman soldiers, they pledged allegiance to their general. Not to the army, not to the flag, not to the republic, but to their general. And they would march to their death at the order of their general. And so when there was no lineup of a replacement emperor, the different Roman armies would go to their different generals, and they would, if they thought their general was powerful enough, they would convince him to make himself the next emperor. And so there were four generals that had their armies, and two of them fought it out. And then it came down to Constantine and Maxentius. Now, Constantine was the Roman general in Britain, and he was in York in Britain, and his soldiers, when they get the news that Galerius had died, his soldiers surround him and say, "Hail Caesar." And so they have a statue of Constantine there in York, England, where he got the news. So he marches toward Rome, and there's the Battle of the Milvian Bridge in 313 AD. And the story is that Maxentius was in the city of Rome. He should have stayed there and just waited it out, but instead he decided to fight, and he got killed at the Milvian Bridge. And but the night before the battle, Constantine claims to have seen the sign of Christ in the sky. And the sign of Christ is the first two letters of the Greek name for Christ. And the name Christ is a Greek name. It's the Hebrew name Messiah, which means the anointed one. But in Greek, it's Christ. And if you were to write it out, the Greek letters, the first letter is X, and the next letter is basically the R sound. It looks like a P. But it's called a Kairo, and it's the alphabetical letters of an X and a P. And so Constantine sees this and puts it on all of his shields and symbols, and he wins the Battle of the Milvian Bridge. And so he legalizes Christianity after this point. And that Kairo gets shortened just to the Kai, the X, and it is called the Christ's Cross, or as we say today, the Crisscross. And it became the form of a written oath. So if you're going to swear in a court to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Well, if you're going to swear on a document, you would sign at the Christ's cross, at the X. You would say, sign at the X. Well, that X is the Christ's cross. You're swearing before Christ that you're going to keep your pledge. And then you would kiss it to show sincerity. And so that came down to us as the X's and the O's on the bottom of a Valentine, that you're pledging your faithfulness and you're kissing it to show that you're sincere and going to keep this oath. It's also where we get the Xmas, where you see the X and the hyphen and the M-A-S, and you think, oh, they crossed out Christ. No, the X is the Greek letter which stood for Christ. It was the Chi. And then it's also where we get the cross my heart, I swear to tell the truth, you know, the X. Anyway, Constantine legalizes Christianity, and it is at this time that Nicholas is let out of prison. Again, this is all what's passed down through the Greek Orthodox tradition. So Nicholas goes back to Myra, which was that port city where he was the bishop, and now that it's legal to publicly be a Christian, he preaches against paganism. So the Greeks were into this sensual humanism, Greek naked statues and Olympic races that they actually ran naked, and then they had a temple to Diana nearby. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world there at Ephesus. 127 huge pillars and temple prostitutes. And matter of fact, the Apostle Paul preached against this at Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. And so Nicholas is preaching against this Diana worship. It was the Las Vegas of the Mediterranean. You know, they would go, oh, I'm going to go on a religious pilgrimage to Ephesus and worship Diana. Yeah, they're going to go in and see the prostitutes there. Anyway, Nicholas preaches against this sexual immorality, and the people tear down the local temple to Diana, and then a generation later, they tear down the big temple there at Ephesus. And Nicholas is also known for his standing up for the Bible, where there was the Arian heresy. Now, Arius was a bishop, and he came up with a new theology that Jesus was a little less than God, that he was the first of created beings. But this is basically the Jehovah's Witness Mormon type doctrine. He made a catchy little song, and it was people that weren't very intelligent would sing it and end up being swayed in this direction. And Visigoths were a tribe that had invaded the Roman Empire, and they embraced Arianism. And this began to cause a split, not just in the church, but in the Roman Empire. So Constantine, he's an emperor. He doesn't know theological doctrine, and he is getting political fallout from this church split, so he orders all the bishops to come from all across the Roman Empire to Nicaea there in Asia Minor. So they come from Africa and the Middle East and at Jerusalem and Antioch, and they all come to Nicaea, and they settle it by agreeing on the Nicene Creed, which is still said in churches around the world today. And The story is that Nicholas was there at the Council of Nicaea, and he was so upset at Arius for starting this first mother of all heresies. I mean, this was like the first major doctrinal attack on the church, that Nicholas slapped Arius across the face on the floor of the council. So jolly old St. Nick had a little temper there. You better watch out if he's coming to town. He got reprimanded for it, and they were even going to remove him from being a bishop, but somebody else had a dream that said, no, leave him alone, God's with him. Nicholas goes back to Myra, and so you get the picture. He's a pretty tough, on-fire Christian. I mean, here he is being imprisoned under Roman emperors. He's vocal, and he's preaching against sexual immorality, and he's standing up for the purity of the Bible doctrine. But he's also known, the Greeks passed down lots of miracle stories, and some are more believable than others, but one is there was a famine in the town, the city where he was at, and the ships would come from Egypt, filled full of grain. That's where the grain was grown in Egypt, and they would pass through Asia Minor on their way to Rome. And Nicholas goes down to the port and talks some of the sailors into unloading their grain to feed his people, and they do. And he promises them that God would bless them. And sure enough, on their return trip, they say the grain that was left in their boat had multiplied, and sort of like the little widow's meal barrel in the story of Elijah. And another story was that there was a storm, and the sailors and fishermen could not get back to the docks, and they thought they were going to sink. And so they get Bishop, he goes down and prays, and the sea becomes calm, and they can all come back safely. Another story is the governor in the area was corrupt and doing all kinds of dirty deals. And when his corruption came to light, he blamed it on several soldiers and ordered them to be executed. And he did this to hide his corruption. I know it's hard for us to imagine politicians doing things like that. But Nicholas heard about it. And so he goes down to where the execution is to take place, and he busts through the crowd. And he grabs the sword out of the executioner's hand and throws it down. And then he turns to the governor and he reads his mail in front of everybody and basically goes through all the details of his corruption. And the governor realizes that nobody could know all this stuff except God. And so he begs Nicholas to pray for him that God would have mercy on his soul. Anyway, these are just a sample of the stories that the Greek Orthodox Church has passed down regarding Nicholas. He dies on December 6th of 343 A.D., and the Greeks would give presents to each other on the anniversary of his death on December 6th. The next century is Justinian, is the Christian Roman emperor, and he builds a big cathedral, names it after Nicholas, and then we see that the date of Christmas begins to get more important. We say, well, why December 25th? Why is that date important? Well, the first three centuries of Christians, first of all, the emphasis was on the resurrection. Second of all, they were killed so fast they didn't really have time to argue about doctrine. Thirdly, it was not until the 300s there was one church leader named Clement, and he preaches the first sermon talking about the birth of Christ, and there was quite a difference on when the actual date was. Of course, the Egyptians used one kind of calendar, and then the Jews had the Jewish lunar calendar, and then other areas, and so there was the formula was settled upon. That Zacharias in the gospel story was in the temple for the Day of Atonement, which would have been around September 25th, and he's the father of John the Baptist, and the angel appears to him and says his wife's going to conceive, and he doubts it, so he's struck dumb and he can't talk for 6 months. Meanwhile, or I guess for 9 months, but he goes back and his wife gets pregnant, and Elizabeth. And so she is 6 months pregnant when Mary visits her. So September 25th, Yom Kippur, 6 months is March 25th, and so that's when Mary visits. So Mary's brand new pregnant, and so March 25th is when Mary is the Annunciation, when she is the Holy Spirit descends upon her and she conceives, and so 9 months after that would be December 25th, and so that's the way the Church calculated the date of December 25th. Had it been a Roman holiday before then, yes, but the attitude back then was to show the supremacy of Christianity by taking what day had been used for the wrong, and to show the superiority of Christianity by saying we're going to claim this day. Sort of like Halloween and church kids have to stay inside, and so a lot of churches now are having harvest days and having kids dress up as Bible characters.
Hold that thought. We're going to a break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Tri-Property Management in Greeley asks everyone to get involved in our community this holiday season. Whether it's food for a family in crisis, a toy for a needy child, care packages for military members, or giving the gift of life by giving blood, you can make a difference that directly affects someone's life. Be a part of something great. This message from Tri-Property in Greeley. For a full range of homes or apartments for rent, call 970-352-1025 or visit triplacestolive.com. If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm, or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534, and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning is William Federer. And before we go on, Will, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get your book, how they can get your website.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. My website is AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com. And then the book is titled, There Really Is a Santa Claus, The History of St. Nicholas and Christmas Holiday Traditions.
There really is a Santa Claus. Be a wonderful gift for somebody that you love or care for. Well, you go on with the story, please.
Well, the matter of fact, the name Santa Claus is the Dutch pronunciation of Saint Nicholas. So, Sant Niklaus, Saint Nicholas, and so you say Sant Niklaus a couple times. It's Santa Claus. Anyway, So the date of Christmas becomes important, and Clovis, the king of the Franks, and the Franks were a tribe that had overrun the Roman Empire and settled in Central Europe, and the Franks had a king named Clovis, and he decided to get baptized into the Christian faith on Christmas Day in 496 A.D., and so 3,000 of his soldiers get baptized the same day, and so this is when France becomes Christian, and anyway, it's the Clovis then goes into the Carolingian, you know, empire period of time, and they stopped the Muslims from invading. Another interesting time period was how Western Europe placed so much emphasis on Christmas, December 25th, but Eastern Europe put the emphasis on Epiphany, January 6th, the visit of the three wise men to baby Jesus, and they could not decide which day was holier. And so they decided at the Council of Tours in 567 AD to make all 12 days between December 25th and January 6th the 12 days of Christmas. So the 12 days of Christmas are not 12 days leading up to Christmas. It was the 12 days between December 25th and January 6th. They were called holy days. And over the centuries, the word holy day got pronounced holiday. So people say, well, we're not going to celebrate Christmas. We're just going to have it be a holiday tree. Well, holiday means holy day. And what were the holy days but Christmas? Anyway, then we see in 800 AD on Christmas Day, Charlemagne, whose grandfather, Charles Martel, stopped the Muslims from invading France, Charlemagne is crowned Holy Roman Emperor. And so he is the now taken the position that Justinian had, that he's responsible for protecting Christendom. And he's crowned in St. John Lateran Church and there in Rome on Christmas Day in the year 800. Now, just to give you a little insight into the dangers of that era, 846 years later, in 846 AD, that same church, St. John Lateran, 10,000 Muslim pirates storm into Rome, and they trash the church of St. John Lateran, and they dig up the bones of St. Peter and St. Paul and trash them, and loot Rome. And so it was after that that Pope Leo decided to build a wall around the Vatican, because the Vatican was actually outside of the city limits of the old Roman city. But it was a dangerous time with Vikings attacking from the north and Muslim pirates attacking from the south. Anyway, 988 AD, Vladimir the Great is the emperor of Russia, and he decides to abandon paganism, throws all the pagan gods in the Dnieper River, and he decides to embrace monotheism. And so some Muslims send ambassadors to him, but when they tell him that he can no longer drink alcohol, he says, we cannot have this because drink is the joy of the Russes, the Russians. Jews, the Khazars, was a huge Jewish kingdom in the sort of a buffer between the Muslim area and the Europeans, and they're in Central Asia, Europe. So they sent ambassadors, and of course Vladimir didn't convert to Judaism. Then the Roman Catholics sent ambassadors, and he didn't convert to Roman Catholicism. But the Greeks sent ambassadors to Vladimir, and they tell him that they speak Greek, the language of the New Testament, and their land was where John spoke and Paul spoke, and they had the largest Christian church in the world for 1,000 years there in Constantinople. It was Hagia Sophia, and it was 165 feet high, 102-foot across dome, 4 acres of gold mosaics, this enormous church. And so Vladimir decides that he is going to convert to Greek Orthodox Christianity, and he adopts St. Nicholas as the patron saint of Russia. And so now, this huge empire of Russia, there's Nicholas everywhere, and Nicholas churches and emperors named, you know, Nicholas and Nikolai. And then another part of the story is St. Stephen. On the year 1000 AD, on Christmas Day, he is crowned King of Hungary. And so this date of Christmas ends up becoming a very important date in Europe. Now, a little trivia. St. Stephen of Hungary, crowned on Christmas Day in the year 1000. His son is named Emmerich. He dies at 22 years old, but he was a pious young man, and so he's called St. Emmerich. And the Italian pronunciation of Emmerich is Amerigo or Amerigo, and that's the namesake of Amerigo Vespucci, who was an Italian explorer and map maker, and he put his name on a continent called America. So America takes its name from Amerigo Vespucci, and Amerigo is the Italianized Emmerich, which is the son of St. Stephen, who was crowned king of Hungary on Christmas Day in the year 1000. I know it's a lot of trivia there, but it's all in the book. There really is a Santa Claus, a history of St. Nicholas and Christmas holiday traditions. But then the Muslims invade, and they invade what is today Turkey. And all seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation were destroyed by the Muslims. Just like today, with the Muslim Brotherhood are destroying hundreds of ancient churches in Syria that have been there since the Apostle Paul's time. And these Muslim Brotherhood are being funded by our president and by the United States of America. And so we're seeing this. But anyway, back at the time, the Muslims were invading what is today Turkey, and they were destroying churches. And they were digging up the bones of the Christian saints and giving them to the dogs. Sort of like when the Muslims invaded Egypt, the Christians smuggled the bones of Saint Mark out of Egypt by packing them under pork, and they shipped them to Venice, Italy, to Saint Mark's Cathedral. Well, the Christians in the year 1087 decided to move the bones of their famous Greek Saint Nicholas to Italy, a little town called Bari, Italy, B-A-R-I. And they built a cathedral. Pope Urban II was there when they dedicated the cathedral. We know Pope Urban II because he was the one that got the ambassadors from the Byzantine emperor begging for help because of the Muslim invasion. And so Pope Urban II helped to send the first crusade. And they try to take back the Holy Land from the Muslims, and then finally the Crusades fizzle, and the Muslims pick up where they left off, and they invade Europe some more. But anyway, Nicholas's bones and his remains were moved from Myra over there in Asia Minor to Bari, Italy, and they built a cathedral, Cattedrale Niccolo de Bari. But he's alive in heaven because he's a saint, right? He loved Jesus, so he's alive in heaven. But nevertheless, in Italy, gift giving became very popular. So much so that Saint Francis of Assisi, sort of in protest in the 1200s, comes up with the nativity scene, the creche scene, saying all this gift giving's fine, but it's a distraction from the reason for the season. Jesus, the Son of God, was born in a manger. And so the creche scene is the Jesus, Mary, Joseph, donkey in the manger.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop wants to remind you that drinking and driving should never be combined. There will be many opportunities to drink during the holiday season. Plan ahead. If you're going to drink, don't drive. This message is brought to you by Fort Collins Radiator Shop at 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, call 482-6783. They have over 47 years of experience. They're family owned and operated, and they're on the air because they care.
Guard your rights. The Tanner Gun Show this weekend in Loveland at the Ranch. Over 500 dealer tables with twice as much merchandise as any other show. Unbelievable selection and prices on guns, knives, ammo, survival gear, and a huge assortment of outdoor gear and accessories. From antiques and collectibles to the latest technology, the Tanner Gun Shows are buy, sell, trade, so bring your guns. The Tanner Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Ranch in Loveland, next to the Budweiser Event Center. Exit 259 off I-25. Doors open at 9. Concealed carry permit classes available at the show. Go to TannerGunShow.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, William Federer, and the story of St. Nicholas and Santa Claus. Go right ahead, William.
Well, Martin Luther starts the Reformation in 1517. By the way, in 1529, 100,000 Muslims surround Vienna, Austria. So they didn't stop with the Crusades. They're on the march. Anyway, Martin Luther. By this time, there is a saint for every single day of the year. So not just St. Nicholas on December 6th, but every single day had at least one saint. And the attention, Martin Luther thought, was being diverted away from Christ. And so Martin Luther ends the saints' days in the Reformation countries, and he moves all the gift-giving to December 25th, which had just been a church service to celebrate the birth of Christ, but he now moves the gift-giving to December 25th and said all gifts come from the Christ child. And the German pronunciation of Christ child is Christkind, like kindergarten and kindercare. Kind means child, and Christ means Christ. And so Christkind, over the centuries, got morphed into Kris Kringle. So Kris Kringle is German for Christ child. That's what the pronunciation of originally was, Christkind. Martin Luther, you know, is also credited with sticking up a tree and putting candles in the branches and telling his children this is like the sky above Bethlehem on the night of Christ's birth. But there's more on that in my book. But we look also at England. Now, Henry VIII brings the Reformation to England, not because he had a spiritual experience, but because he wanted another wife. And the Pope wouldn't recognize his divorce. He wanted a male heir. He goes on to have six wives, divorced, beheaded, died, divorced, beheaded, survived. And he's told that if he really wanted to separate from Rome, he should stop using the Latin Bible, get an English Bible. So he spreads the English Bible around the country, more or less for political reasons. But something unexpected happened. People began to read it and began to compare what's in this Bible to this king divorcing and beheading his wives. And so a group got started that wanted to purify the Church of England, and they were nicknamed the Puritans. Well, the king didn't think he needed any purifying, so he persecuted this group, and eventually they fled and founded colonies in America. Well, now, during this time, Henry VIII, he ended the saints' days, sort of like Martin Luther, but instead of focusing on the Christ child, he brings back an old Roman party, Saturnalia, because Britain used to be a Roman colony, and the Romans had this feast at the end of the year, Saturnalia, and Saturn was their god of feasting and plenty and merriment. And if you remember the Christmas Carol with Charles Dickens, there is the spirit of Christmas present, and it's this big fat guy with green robes, a wreath in his hair, a goblet of wine, grapes, you know, all the happy ho-ho party guy. And you're looking at him and asking yourself, who is this guy? He sort of looks like Santa Claus, but he also sort of looks like some Greek god. Well, that was Saturn, but they Christianized him and called him Father Christmas. They could not call him St. Nicholas because saints were outlawed. Anyway, during this time in England, Christmas became sort of a party time, sort of like a Mardi Gras. You think Mardi Gras? Well, Mardi Gras used to be a spiritual day. It was the last day before Lent when you would fast for 40 days before Easter. And now it's this lewd party in New Orleans. Well, during Henry VIII's time in England, Christmas became sort of a carousing, drinking, partying, wassailing, where they'd take a drink of booze and throw the rest of it on some plant, hoping for a nice harvest the next year. And anyway, the Puritans did not celebrate Christmas. They said, can our almighty God be honored by mad mirth and hard drinking and lewd, you know, dancing and a party fit for a Bacchus rather than a Christian celebration? And so the Puritans didn't like Christmas, and during this time is when the Pilgrims settled Massachusetts, and they did not celebrate Christmas. William Bradford tells a humorous story. He said a second boatload of Pilgrims came over, and they wanted to celebrate Christmas, and so he did not make them go out to the field and work on Christmas Day with everyone else. He comes back at lunch, and they're in the street playing stickball and all kinds of things. And he said, it may offend your conscience to have to work on Christmas, but it offends ours that we're working while you're playing. So if you're going to celebrate Christmas, do it quietly in your homes. And but the Puritans in England, the king didn't like the Puritans. He didn't think he needed purifying. And so he persecuted them, and like 20,000 Puritans fled England and settled in Massachusetts. And they were really strict. They actually had a 5-shilling fine for anybody caught celebrating Christmas. They said the Sabbath is the holy day, and every other day should be celebrated equally. And but the Dutch, they had a like for Christmas and Santa Claus. And by this time, the story had gotten a little bit away from the Bible. What do I mean? Well, the Book of Revelation says that Christ will return at the end of the world to judge the living and the dead, riding a white horse. And the saints would be coming back with him, riding white horses. And St. Nicholas is a saint. And so he's certainly going to be one of those riding back on a white horse. And he's just, in the Greek tradition, he just comes back once a year for a little mini judgment, a little mini checkup, right, to get ready for the big judgment day. And so that's where the visit from St. Nicholas. And in Norway, they didn't have horses. They had reindeer. And so now he's coming back on a reindeer. And then there's the Lamb's Book of Life, and if your name's in there, you go to heaven. There's the Book of Works, and that turns into the Book of the Naughty and the Nice, and then the angels turn into the elves, and then you have the saints come from where? Well, they come from heaven, the New Jerusalem, the celestial city. Well, that turns into the North Pole, and so you can see these biblical themes get a little bit off. Well, in Holland, they have St. Nicholas dressed as a bishop arriving on a white horse from Spain, and he has with him his little Moorish costumed helper, Zwarte Piet, and he's a little Muslim, and so they tell the kids, if you're good, St. Nicholas gives you presents. If you're naughty, his little helper, Zwarte Piet, will put you in a gunny sack and take you back to Spain and sell you into Muslim slavery. And the Muslims control Spain for 700 years, and they enslaved millions and carried them away to the slave markets of North Africa. There were entire Catholic orders in Europe during the Middle Ages called the Trinitarians, and the head of the order was called the Ransomer, and they would collect alms and donations across Europe to get your friend back who was captured into Muslim slavery. And so this was like...
William, we're just about out of time. One more time, get the name of your book out. It's available at Amazon. It's available at your local bookstores. What's the name?
It's called, There Really Is a Santa Claus, The History of St. Nicholas and Christmas Holiday Traditions. Fascinating book, and I bring it all the way up to the present, and you get to see all the different things added into the story.
A wonderful time to learn the background of our Christian tradition. Good night. Bye-bye. Have a wonderful Christmas. We'll talk to you later, William.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, Dr. Stan here, and this wonderful time of year as we celebrate Christmas, but we live in a very, very uncertain world. And what people really don't want to really think about is there really are dark and sinister spirits or forces at work within our society. And what is their goal? Why they want to bring about a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and they want to destroy Christianity and everything it stands for. And that is exactly the policy of your government. That's why they took God and prayer out of our schools. That's why, of course, military chaplains can no longer pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That is why the Americans are funding today the terrorists who are killing the Christians in Syria. They've killed over 120,000 Syrian civilians. Many of them are Christians. They've gone into the Christian towns in Syria and burnt the churches down and raped the women. But you're not going to read about this in the media. Why? Because, of course, our media is controlled. And the same reason you're not hearing this, Nelson Mandela, four American presidents, you're over-honoring him. He's a communist, a lifelong communist. Look at the pictures of Nelson Mandela. You will see him with his raised arm with a clenched fist, the typical communist salute. Certainly go up on your internet right now and pull down, just go to your search engine, type in New American article, Nelson Mandela, communist. It'll come up, just come out, because the Communist Party of South Africa, just in this last 2 or 3 days, has announced that Nelson Mandela was a lifelong communist, but you'll never read that in the American media. Why? Because it's controlled. And if you're not involved in trying to expose what's going on, then you are part of the problem, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. We celebrate Christmas. We can do it today. But how much longer? The people who control America hate Christianity, and they dominate both political parties. They have their people planted even within our educational system and our churches, and they've changed the music and the message of the Christian church in America. I hope you'll want to join us in this epic struggle, and I hope you'll want to support Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. You can go to our website if you enjoyed the program this morning with William. Oh, we did a similar program last night, and it should be posted there at radioliberty.com. Certainly, and you just go to listen, and you can listen to our program live 4 hours a day and archive 24 hours a day. And William's talk that you just heard is archived there, will be later today. But we need your help to maintain our network of stations across America, where at least some people are understanding what is really going on, and that there really are dark and sinister forces that are using the foreign and domestic policy of the United States and the military power of America to bring about a one-world government. They're not, we don't have our stations, our troops in 130 nations to maintain freedom. We are establishing a one-world government, and we're bringing in leaders who go along with this age-old satanic dream, and that has always been Satan's dream, to control the world. And it's approaching very rapidly, and we do hope you'll help us get the information out. More and more Americans are waking up. You do have the alternative media. You do have access.